call the next case, case number 4, Carmichael v. Village of Palatine, 091010.
May it please the court, counsel.
Mr. Serta.
This case concerns the improper grant of summary judgment. The overarching issue on appeal is whether there was probable cause for this nighttime traffic stop. Probable cause depends not on the facts an omniscient observer would perceive them, but on the facts that they would have appeared to a reasonable person in the position of the arresting officer, what he saw, hearing what he heard at the time of the stop. During the criminal proceedings, the arresting officer stated that his reasons for the traffic stop were that the vehicle had improper or non-functioning brake lights and taillights. He's behind the vehicle. He sees no taillights and brake lights, according to him, and that is his reason for the stop. That's what he set forth in his police report. That's what he set forth during the entirety of the criminal proceedings, including a preliminary hearing. At a preliminary hearing, there was evidence put on that the car, in fact, worked. The lights worked, so there was a disputed fact, and there was a finding of no probable cause. The defendant officer is consistent in his testimony in the in these proceedings before the district court that the only reasons for the traffic stop were that the vehicle did not have functioning brake lights or taillights. He made no other observations. He did not observe any tint on any windows. He did not observe a missing front license plate.
What did he tell him when he arrested him?
Well, what he said, the officer denies telling the plaintiffs that anything other than there was no brake lights and taillights.
Plaintiffs claim he said that. The plaintiff apparently said that he did.
The plaintiff said, testifying truthfully, that they asked why they were stopped, and at that point they were told by the officer that I stopped you for not having a front license plate and tinted windows. At that point, the officer was simply fabricating a reason for the stop. He didn't have a good reason for the stop. Remember, he sees the car from behind. After the car is stopped, he comes around the car, he notices there's no front license plate. But the first thing he saw was the rear of the car. The rear of the car had a temporary tag, and the officer said, with the temporary tag, you don't need a front license plate. So the first thing he saw was the rear license plate.
This is kind of confusing because, you know, they didn't have the front license plate, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And that's what the plaintiffs say was the reason that the officer said he stopped them.
Right.
And that could provide probable cause.
No, because the first thing he saw was the rear of the car with the temporary tag, so he had no reason for stopping the car because of a front license plate. He would have not had any reason for stopping the car for a driver's side tinted window because he wouldn't have seen it. He's behind the car at night, following the car. All he sees is the back of the car. He says he stopped the car because of failing brake lights and taillights.
His admissions, Officer Sharkey stated he did not know whether or not the car that Carmichael was driving had a front license plate.
Yes, Your Honor. And so it's Officer Sharkey's position. He does not know one way or another whether the car had a missing front license plate or missing or tinted window.
So the difficulty in the case really is the tension between the district court's opinion and these admissions, correct?
Mm-hmm. Well, the difficulty is that the district court did not address what the officer saw. What did he see? He only saw the back of the car, and that's his reason for the stop. What he may have said to the plaintiffs is not really relevant. It's what the officer would have seen at the time when he decided to make the stop.
And he now admits he didn't see the absence of a front license plate.
Yes, Your Honor. And he also admits he didn't see tinted windows on the car. What he was doing was he stopped the car. He didn't have probable cause for the stop. He he decides, well, am I going to make an arrest or not? He discovers illegal narcotics. Now he has to come up with a reason for the stop. The front license plate is not going to be a good reason for the stop because there was a temporary tag, which he would have seen first. So he makes it up that there are missing brake lights and taillights. What he said to the plaintiffs does not constitute a finding of what the officer saw. The officer has to tell you what he saw. The officer also should articulate that in a police report somewhere in the criminal proceedings, and that's what happened in Wren, in Davenport, in Williams. There was some reason articulated for the stop by the officer.
So if your clients testified in a trial as to what the officer said, you wouldn't be offering that for the truth. That is, that this was really the problem. It would be just the subterfuge that he said this, correct?
Correct, Your Honor. And because there was no probable cause for the stop, the arrest was improper, and it's the overarching issue because it reaches the false arrest claim, the malicious prosecution claim, and in part the intentional infliction of emotional distress claim. The grant of summary judgment was also improper because plaintiffs also had a strip search claim. There was a passenger in the car, a Mr. Sawyer, who was strip searched in the parking lot of a motel and let go. And that was completely inappropriate.
You didn't make anything of this in your papers in the district court either.
The defendants didn't move for summary judgment on that claim, if you read their papers. They mentioned nothing about the strip search claim.
Do we have a final judgment?
Yes.
Why?
The judge granted summary judgment on all the claims and entered final judgment.
Now, lots of things were because of waiver, and she referred to some dilatory action and a lot of other things that weren't achieved there.
Well, we didn't address the summary judgment. Excuse me, Your Honor. We didn't address the strip search claim because it wasn't moved for in summary judgment. Defendants filed their motion, in fact, only concerns probable cause. Their memorandum addresses probable cause and says it's the overarching issue with regard to the false arrest claim, malicious prosecution claim, and intentional infliction of emotional distress claim. It does not mention the strip search claims. So we didn't respond to the strip search claims because they weren't moved for in summary judgment by the defendant. And
but they certainly argued in summary judgment the strip search was raised, and it was considered part of all of the activity that evening, right?
The strip search of Mr. Sawyer was not raised by the defense.
So there was no discussion in their summary judgment brief at all of him?
Nothing. Very surprising decision in that regard. And there was very little articulated with regard to Mr. Carmichael other than because there was probable cause, the strip search was permissible. And what plaintiffs said in response to summary judgment, because there was not probable cause, then the false arrest and malicious the strip search claim was improper. That's all we need to do at summary judgment. We didn't waive it. They said because there was probable cause. We said there wasn't probable cause. It's a disputed fact. It was also improper for the district court in making a finding that the car had tinted windows, because what plaintiffs said in response is that some car window was tinted. Mr. Carmichael didn't say that the driver's side window was tinted and it was up at the time he was driving. What the district court did is accept a statement of fact where the defendant set forth a photograph without any sworn testimony attributing, you know, what this photograph is, and leapt from that photograph to a statement made by defendants in pieces of the transcript that were placed forth in support of other facts that, well, Mr. Carmichael said at some point that there was a tinted window. He didn't say that the driver's side window was tinted, and he certainly didn't say that it was tinted enough at the time of the stop. But again, we don't get to the driver's side window because the reason you look at what the officer saw at the time of the stop, he's looking at the back of the car. All he sees, he doesn't see the driver's side window, so you really don't get there. So we ask that the judgment be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Cerda. Mr. Deano.
May it please the court. My name is Jim Deano, and I represent the defendants in this lawsuit. To address your question about the summary judgment, I think what the district court dealt with was the overarching issue of probable cause, and then finding that there was probable cause, traced from there through everything that was done, and found that since probable cause existed, the arrest was appropriate. Following that, the search was appropriate, and following that, the search of the passenger was appropriate. And it all hinges on this court's decision in Williams versus Rodriguez, where this court said that the probable cause analysis is an objective one. So the question is not whether probable cause supported the charges that was actually brought by the arresting officer, or whether the arresting officer even articulated the correct offenses that gave rise to probable cause. The question, Williams court said, was whether a reasonable officer, under the facts that we know existed, would have probable cause to make an arrest for any offense. And in this case, there's also the additional issue of qualified immunity. So the analysis would be whether a reasonable officer, with the information that we have before us, would have believed, reasonably believed, that he had probable cause to make an arrest for any offense. In this case, we know that the car had tinted windows. The photograph shows it, and we also know that the car had no front plate. The plaintiffs admitted that. Then you take the admission of Mr. Sawyer, one of the occupants of the car, who testified that Officer Sharkey told him at the time of the arrest that the reason I pulled you over is because you have no front plate and because you have a tinted front window. And again, the photograph shows the tinted front window.
Now, that's what he knew when he spoke to the gentleman he arrested.
Correct. Where else would that have come from through Mr. Sawyer if Officer Sharkey did not say that?
So he knew it when he was standing with this gentleman at the car.
He knew it at that
time.
The
question is, did he know it when he stopped the car?
Mm-hmm. He told Mr. Sawyer that that's why he pulled him over. So
what about the admissions?
The admission of?
The admissions he made.
Of Officer Sharkey.
Yes.
Under the Williams case, those would be irrelevant as to why he said he made a stop if the circumstances show that there was probable cause to make the stop.
So his testifying twice that those were not the reasons would be irrelevant under your argument?
Under the Williams case, the question is whether the circumstances showed that a reasonable officer would have believed probable cause existed, and then carrying it to qualified immunity, whether a reasonable officer would have believed that arguable probable cause existed, even though the arresting officer did not articulate the correct reasons for making the arrest at the time of the arrest or later on. It's an objective analysis, is what this court said in Williams. And objectively, we know that those circumstances existed, the tinted window, and the lack of a front plate.
So the officer was an unreasonable person. He didn't notice those things.
Well, he told Mr. Sawyer, one of the occupants of the car, that that's why he pulled him over. He told him at the time.
Now he doesn't know.
Well, at the time, even at the time he wrote his report, he didn't cite those reasons. But the point is, at the time he made the stop, he expressed those reasons to the occupant of the car, and also, under the objective analysis in Williams and Devenpeck and also in Wren, the question is, what do the circumstances show? And as long as the circumstances show a basis for probable cause, and here it is unlawful to drive with a tinted front window, and it is unlawful to drive with a lack of a front plate, as long as those two conditions existed, an objective analysis would show that probable cause for the stop existed, whether Officer Sharkey articulated those reasons or not.
Devenpeck against Alford. The Supreme Court said our cases make clear that an arresting officer's state of mind, except for the facts he knows, is irrelevant. Your guy didn't know apparently about the tinted windows?
Well, here's the quote I would take from both of those cases, Wren and Devenpeck, is this. The fact that the officer does not have the state of mind, which is hypothecated by the reasons which provide legal justification for the officer's actions, that is, for the arrest, does not invalidate the action taken as long as the circumstances viewed objectively justify that action. And here, the circumstances viewed objectively are a tinted front window and a lack of a front plate.
So a police officer can stop somebody on the street and he can call the sergeant and say, "Sarge, I didn't really see anything to stop this guy. Mm-hmm. Take a look around, see what you can find." Sergeant looks around and says, "You know, he's got the light over the license plates out. You can say you saw that."
But by,
that's okay, right?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying by the admission of the occupant, and that is Mr. Sawyer, who testified that Officer Sharkey told him at the time of the arrest that the reason I'm making the stop of you is because of the tinted front window and the lack of a front plate. That's what he said at the scene. So we know that, and those facts are true.
So we just totally disregard what Sharkey says, the fact that it's not in his report, that's why he stopped it, that he says twice and under oath that that's not the reason he stopped it. Aren't we rewarding, then, officers who lie or at least have terrible memories as to what happens on the street?
Not as long as other bases exist for probable cause, independent of what he says. Because we know, independent of anything he said, that the car had tinted front windows.
Of course, at the time he stopped them, he couldn't even see that. That's Mr. Serta's point. He couldn't see. He stopped them. It was dark. He was behind them.
He was not next to them. He didn't testify that he didn't see the front windows at the time of the stop or at any time. It's counsel's conclusion that he couldn't have seen the front windows because he pulled up behind him.
Right. Well, there's no evidence presented that contradicts what Mr. Serta asserts, is there?
Because
your officer doesn't say, "I saw them from the side," or "I was in front of them, but I dropped back. And because I was in front of them, I could see the missing plate, and then when I dropped back, I could see the dark tint." There are no other facts.
Your Honor, the evidence that there is what Officer Sharkey said spontaneously at the scene of the stop, when he said, "The reason I pulled you over is the tinted front window." So, you know, he didn't. This isn't something he thought about later on when he was writing a report or consulting with a sergeant. He said it right there at the scene when he had Mr. Sawyer step out of the car.
Right, and he never said it again.
And it might be because he found all that cocaine and now started focusing on, you know, the cocaine and the charges he was going to bring. But the point is, we know that there was a tinted front window, and we know that there was a lack of a plate. And if you read Williams, this court said that as long as there is a basis for a probable cause, and that is some unlawful conduct, whether the officer was aware of it or not or cited it or not, as long as those other factors existed and they are part of the circumstances, and an objective analysis would show that probable cause existed.
Where do you stand on this strip search thing? I mean, it seems to be the ghost captain of all litigation.
That was part of, whether you call it a strip search or a search incident to the arrest of Mr. Sawyer, who was part of the, quote, common enterprise because he's in a car with all the cocaine and the marijuana. The search was that Officer Sharkey pulled forward the front of his pants and shined his light down there.
Yeah.
And the court found that it was justified by the fact that there was cocaine found in the car. He was a passenger in the car, and it was a large amount of cocaine. It wasn't just something that someone had in their pocket. This was a bag full of cocaine in the back. So it was reasonable, the court found, for Officer Sharkey to believe that the passenger was part of a common enterprise and that the search of him was appropriate at that time.
You know, there's a lot of things here to be waived and not argued, and I don't have a very accurate list of that. Put two arguments in that he didn't bring up.
Well, the district court cited the bases for the waiver and the failure to address certain issues and failure to flush out the arguments. And basically it's on all the state-based issues that the court said that there was no argument by the plaintiff. And also on the strip search.
Yeah, that's for,
and
for Sawyer anyway. It just seems kind of, well, not kind of, really mixed up, because some of these things, if they're waived, or didn't argue them, didn't present an argument, and I assume you're taking a position on those. But
well, we do. We have an alternative argument that they were waived, but in the event that this court finds that they were not waived, we presented an argument that the district court's ruling was appropriate based on Williams and the objective analysis and whether the officer articulated the correct reason for arrest or not. As long as some other objective basis existed, the arrest was appropriate. Thank you.
So then, let me just, so if that falls, that rationale falls, and if this court doesn't affirm on that basis, then the strip search is alive as well.
Well, unless it's waived as well. You're saying if that basis falls, that is probable cause.
Right, because it's all linked together. I mean, that's your theory. It's all linked together.
Well, it does hinge on the probable cause, whether it's based on lack of a front plate, tinted windows, whatever the circumstances showed. And we submit that the circumstances do show those unlawful circumstances, which would justify probable cause.
So on the strip search, there's no independent basis for probable cause?
Well, the strip search would be justified by the arrest of the driver of the car. That makes then the occupant of the car part of this common enterprise once drugs are found. So if the arrest or stop of the driver is appropriate, then the search of the occupant is appropriate. So it does go back to probable cause to stop the driver.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Serta, 1 minute.
Sir, do you agree that the strip search is entirely dependent on the probable cause for the initial stop?
No, Your Honor.
Could you tell me why? Please?
Because it's improper, even if there is probable cause, to conduct a strip search of persons in an open parking lot pursuant to Campbell versus Miller, which the defendants didn't respond to. The troubling part of the references to tinted windows is that plaintiff stated there was a tint on a window. He didn't identify which one. A photograph was shown, and it was the district court concluded it was a driver's side window, but there was never an establishment of fact that the driver's side window was up and visible. And because the defendants in motion for summary judgment didn't set forth a proper statement of fact, plaintiffs didn't rebut it with testimony that would have said, by the way, in fact, the window was down. That was covered in the depositions. Also,
go back just to the strip search, because I'm not really satisfied with your answer. So the basis of why you're attacking it, the strip search, is because there was no probable cause to strip him and search him because?
In an open parking lot. First, there was no probable cause to search him at all, and even if there was probable cause,
exigent circumstances. There was no indication that he might run or flee or destroy drugs or anything like that.
Yes, Your Honor.
That's your position.
Yes, and that's what's set forth in Campbell versus Miller. But I do drop a footnote in the brief. It was outside the confines of the record, but Sharkey didn't even know during the criminal proceedings, didn't believe that the window was tinted, because he said he could see right through it. There's a footnote number 2 in plaintiff's response brief. Thank the court for its time.
Thank you, Mr. Serta. Thank you, counsel, for your arguments. We will take the case under advisement and call the next